everybody, and welcome to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast on the whole internet and also world, and maybe even universe. Who's to say? Such a vast expanse of Grey's Anatomy podcasts. I'm one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I'm one of your hosts, Carmen, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast. And if you're listening to us in the far reaches of the Milky Way on an alien microwave kind of technology.
Hello.
Hello.
We're sorry.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. I got to tell you, this has been a wild week for me. Wait. Have we not talked in 2 weeks?
We talked last week.
Yeah. It was the 4th of July week. We didn't do that. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I thought last week was 4th of July week. And
I have also thought that a lot this week. I'm like, that was last week, but it was not.
You know how, like, when you're so close to a vacation and time just actually doesn't mean anything anymore? I'm in that zone right now. Yeah. Like, for anyone who's listening who's going to be in Orlando August 3rd through August 9th and you want a quick selfie.
So rude.
I know. Actually, that's because August 7th.
Actually,
is your birthday.
That's so funny because when you guys went in February, you were there on Michael's birthday.
What?
But why is my family's birthday dictating your trips? If you're going to go somewhere, you could at least say hi to me on my birthday.
That's fair. We actually also have a Disney trip planned for December. So
you're a liar.
Birthday. No, we don't. We don't actually.
You're a liar.
We were considering doing a Disney trip November 1st through 5th, but you know, we really should start saving for Marlo's college fund. So Disney college fund.
She's a genius. She'll get a full ride.
That's, you know what? Anything less than that is a real disappointment. Marlo, don't listen to this. So speaking of Marlo, did I tell you last week that she discovered the Let's Get Down to Business, or I'll make a man out of you?
Yeah.
So she loves this. She loves this shit. But she's started doing this thing where she will switch words with the word poop.
Hilarious. Just like her dad.
And the other day.
Peak comedy right there.
It is peak comedy. But the other day, this is how I knew she was undoubtedly no DNA test needed, my daughter. We were singing Let's Get Down to Business. To defeat, and instead of saying the Huns, we both said the poops at the same time. And all we did was just die laughing together. And Jess is like, what's going on? And I'm like, well, this is my daughter.
And we're hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious.
Well, Bennett's birthday's on Friday.
Woohoo! Happy birthday, Benny!
He'll be 3, which is crazy.
You know,
I'm so old.
I don't think I know another Bennett.
I don't think I do either.
But I might need the Bennett fit of the doubt on that one. That's got to be his Instagram name when he gets older.
Bennett fit of the doubt.
Bennett fit of the doubt. Anyways, I'm eating chocolate right now for what it's worth.
I'm eating gummies.
And pot gummies.
I wish. I don't think you should do that. I don't know if you're allowed to do that while you breastfeed.
You can pump and dump.
I have to shout out Joe.
Joe!
Because he emailed and said that he started watching Scandal. Because we talk about it all the time.
Nice!
And he said he's very much enjoying it. So, Joe, you're in for a wild ride. I cannot wait to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, it is definitely an intense one. Not better, hot take maybe, I don't know, not better than How to Get Away with Murder, in my humble opinion.
I feel like, Scandal stays at the same level of good more than How to Get Away with Murder does. But I do love the storytelling structure of How to Get Away with Murder with, like, the flashing around time frame.
Yeah, I think so.
There is no spoilies. A chunk of Scandal that I'm like, I hate this storyline so much.
Skip ahead. 5 seconds. Is it the one that we both mutually hate, that storyline? It's like right in the middle of the show.
Yeah, it's like the season four. Yeah. Most, to my understanding, most people hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and here's the thing. I've only watched both of these shows one time. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I can't sit here and pick out a storyline of How to Get Away with Murder that I'm like, oh, that storyline ruins the show. Yeah. That storyline in Scandal almost ruins the show.
I think my issue with it is I don't mind the storyline. It just lasts too long. It should have been two episodes max, but they stretch that shit out so fucking long.
Yeah, like half the season or more. Yeah,
it's unnecessary. Anyways.
Yeah. So this is a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
We also got an email from a delightful listener in Spain. Hold on, let me open it so I can make sure I have the name right.
I've been eating tons of sardines and white anchovies from Spain recently. So thank you, Spain.
Mario?
Shout out
Mario. I think they're only in season three.
Okay.
And then just a huge shout out to Alicia because she's an angel and she does all of our predictions in a spreadsheet.
And rankings,
but also because she is a gem, she sent me like the next three episodes. This is a teaching hospital. Like she looked up things because I have been horrendous at remembering to do that. And so she did it and sent them to me ahead of time. And then she had the audacity to apologize to me for something. And I was like, don't ever apologize to me for anything. Everything you do is a gift. And I feel you're like an angel.
Alicia, at this point now, do we just need to put you on the
payroll that we don't have?
The no spoilies payroll.
She's a gem.
We will give you 1/10 of 1% of ownership in return for a billion hours of your time.
That feels so fair.
Shark Tank.
That feels like
Shark Tank, baby.
Basically every major corporation in America, so
I learned from our Lord and Savior Donald J. Trump.
Art of the deal, baby.
Art of the deal, baby. Fuck. I can't even say it with a straight face. Ugh. I'm sorry, guys. I hate this guy.
Oh yeah. Someone I was reading through Spotify comments. Sorry if you're this person. I didn't get a name. They were like, I love this podcast, but I listen to it for entertainment. So can you stop razzing on politicians? No. And also I will razz on all of them. I think like 99% of them are straight garbage. So
who's Schumer? What a fucking joke, dude. What are you doing?
No, these people Although, have backbones.
Yeah, yeah. And then you see Cuomo's running in New York as an independent. Can we? Here's the thing, guys.
Read the room, dude. They could not have made it any clearer that they don't want you to be the mayor.
I'm going to say this. I'm speaking only for myself. I'm not speaking on behalf of the our company or this podcast.
Which is us. So.
This is just this is me. I just have a problem with people who are accused and convicted of sexual predatory nature crimes.
Being an elected. I mean, I have a problem with them anyways, but I have a larger problem with them sitting in an elective office.
Yes. Yes. And I saw this meme and it was like, if the Epstein files being released risks society in the United States crumbling, burn it down.
Yeah, like if that's what we've built, that's on us.
Yeah.
Like, fuck that.
Gosh.
I always, you watch Designated Survivor, right?
I've seen, I think, all but the,
it was only three seasons.
Maybe I have seen all of it, yeah.
Because it was two seasons on TV and then Netflix bought the third season. And then did the third season, ended it on a cliffhanger and said, no renewal.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I remember I watched it and I was like, this is a really interesting concept, Michael. I kind of like it's, I wish we could do this without the death. And I'm like, damn, Michael, that's what these fucking Epstein files are looking like they're going to do.
Yeah.
They're going to do Designated Survivor without the death. Since all these motherfuckers are in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do find it interesting that it's like, it's still labeled as a conspiracy, so I will refer to it as that regardless of my own beliefs.
Right.
It is a conspiracy that is like the most bipartisan conspiracy I think that's ever existed. Like, across the aisle, citizenship-wise, people really are like, yeah, this is the one. Like,
yeah, we should just get this out there. And the last thing I'll say on this, because this is a Grey's Anatomy podcast, this is not the Carmen and Kelsey political
raging
diatribe.
Yeah.
The thing that I have a hard time with politicians in general is just be a good person. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. I have
the bar
said
is
on,
so low.
Yeah. I've said on a lot of occasions, if you listen to every single word that we say and also like the things that you can't hear on this podcast, I get it. But while both of us are leaning to the blue side of the aisle, there have been things that we both have acknowledged that the Republican Party has said that we're like, yeah, that's reasonable. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good idea. Yeah. Fiscal responsibility. Woohoo! Like,
the issue seems to be the follow through and execution on both, yes, again, on both
on
sides.
On both sides, yeah.
Both these sides be making a shit ton of promises that sound great.
And also, and let's maybe have a third party. Let's have three parties,
let's
guys.
Let's have like 7 parties.
Let's
honestly
have 100 parties.
A party for everyone. You get a party. You get a party. You get a
you know,
party.
This country would have looked much different if Party City never went out of business.
Ugh, so
because
true.
They'd be prepared for all of the parties.
We'd be having so many parties.
Man. Fuck. Okay. Grace?
Shout outs. You got some shout outs? I know you do. You always do.
Actually, you know what? Hold on. I think I might have like one. There's actually a couple people that I need to like respond to. So actually, I don't have any shout outs.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. I'll keep it short this week.
Oh, I am going to. We're going to shamelessly plug our friends. Because.
Oh!
Our yes. friends, Gabe and Brooke, are in the running to win a free wedding, and they're good people. We love them. So there's going to be voting for it, and we might throw that up on Instagram. So if you care to just do a little clickety-click and then vote for them to win a free wedding, that would be sublime. Pick them, choose them, love them. They're great.
I actually do have another shout-out as well.
Oh, okay, go.
I finally received my long anticipated personalized luggage tag.
Oh yeah.
From the
one and only.
The one and only cameoed appearance Kelly on this podcast for one episode. from her Etsy shop, Cross Stitch Bitch KL. I am obsessed with these luggage tags. So she sent them to me. They finally got in. She wrote this like incredible little thank you note. They're hand wrapped. I was able to go through and like fully walk through the design that I wanted. It's like a very Rugrats retro with all of our favorite colors in the name. So Justice, it was pink. Mine was gold. Marlo's was purple. It was awesome. I will have to send you a picture of these because yeah. they literally were so, like, they turned out so good. So good. Yeah, hold on. Let me send it to you right now because I'm just obsessed. Let me know when you get this here. I just sent it to you. But yeah, it's like she asked for design ideas. We talked through it. It's great. And it's just in time for our Disney trip.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
Isn't it cute?
Yeah. Oh, of course, you got gold because you're you.
Yeah.
I do mean to ask you sometimes.
Yeah.
Does Donald Trump's obsession with gold bother you? Like, does it diminish your appreciation for the color gold?
I don't think until this exact moment I ever gave it any thought.
Oh, so sorry.
Yeah, that's this
mainly
is, this
like
is
when they were like we're doing
lenses.
The golden dome and then it's like his golden toilet. When he said the golden dome, I think that's when I was like thought about it.
No, I don't think that ever crossed my mind. Now I'm sad. But I'm you know sorry. What? I'm not.
I did not mean to hurt you.
No, you didn't. You didn't. That was I understand that was not intentional. It's yeah. No, it doesn't deter me. I think our love of gold stems from different places. He's a monster person. And my favorite color is gold because it's the color of, you know, winning.
Of shiny.
So, of shiny.
You just like a shiny thing. You're like a little raccoon guy.
Yeah. So Yeah, there was someone at work the other day who was like, why do you like gold? And I'm like, well, what do you get in the Olympics if you win first place? And they just said, I can't, and walked away laughing. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm a winner and a wiener. So
you are both of those things.
Speaking of wieners, let's talk about Grace.
Let's. This is the 10th episode of the 9th season. It is episode 182 overall. It is called Things We Said Today, and that is a song by a little-known indie band.
Yes, Things We Said Today is by the English little teeny-tiny startup band called The Beatles, written by Paul McCartney, and it is credited to the Lennon-McCartney duo. Released July 10th, 1964, from the album A Hard Day's Night, which also, for those of you out there listening, had also been in a movie, which is, they made a Hard Day's Night movie, and it's also great. The song itself, Things We Said Today, did not chart, but I am going to go ahead and pull up the album, the charts here. Basically incredible. So the song, the album itself hit number one in Australia, Germany, Finland, the UK, and the United States. And for some weird reason, 20 years later in 1987, hit number 20 in the Dutch album's top 100 charts. So interesting there. But yeah, it's gone quadruple platinum in the United States, platinum in Canada, platinum in the UK, platinum in New Zealand, gold in Australia. So pretty big album. Pretty dope. So this song is already in my iTunes library. It's
amazing.
Yeah, it's gonna be a 5 for a subjectivity score. Actually, no, that's not fair. It's okay. I'm gonna give it a 4 for subjectivity score. I do listen to
that's
it.
That's hard. That's hard for Carmen. He loves the Beatles. I think yeah. It's good that you're recognizing your personal bias.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I would say objectivity, probably like a 3, probably like a 3.1. I'm just waiting for the day they start busting out some Blink-182, My Chemical Romance, like Green Day song titles on these episodes.
Can yeah. Just,
does that happen?
I mean, there's for one, sure, like, I don't even want to spoil it for you.
Okay.
There's some good shit ahead
okay,
of time.
Don't.
In, yeah, in okay. coming down the line, as
all
it
right.
were.
Yeah. All right. I'll turn it over to you, Kelsey.
All right. Thank you so much, Carmen. This episode was written by Austin Guzman and directed by Ron Underwood. It aired January 10th, 2013.
Whoa!
2013, guys. Can you believe it? Oh. 9.34 million views.
No, never mind. I was going to say 2013 was the year I met Jess, but also it was for sure like 2010.
I did meet Michael in 2013 because that's when I moved back to Orlando. But not in January. It was in August.
August 7th?
No. I think it was August 12th. Maybe it was the 9th. It was like very soon after my birthday that I left to drive back down. Okay, the Netflix synopsis for this episode is Bailey continues to put her wedding day on hold as she tries to save Adele's life. Owen and Christina are unsure about their pending divorce. Also, motorcycles.
Yeah, also motorcycles.
If I had to pick a theme for this episode, one word, a one-word descriptor, it would be awkward. Because there are a lot of awkward moments in it that I did not care for.
Yeah. There's also a lot of, some storylines come to a head in ways that I just don't like. The Christina Owen storyline is too, it's way too convoluted.
It's so unclear. Truly, it's so unclear.
The Stephen Jackson. What are we doing? The Joe and Alex storyline. where is that going? Because it looks like they're going to smush. Okay?
Which and you then, said you would only like if they were together for real.
Yes.
Is that still true? You'd like still be into that?
Yeah. Because I would love to go to the store and spend a lot of money for some wrist bling and wear a nice new shiny Jolex. That's my name for Joe and Alex. Is that already a thing or no?
Well, I can't answer you.
Well, I'm okay. All right. Well,
because would that not tell you one way or the other if people have strong feelings about a relationship?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's fair. But that's my name. I came up with it. If anyone else thinks they came up with it first, or if that's already in the ether, no, you're wrong. You just incepted future Carmen's brain. So, Jolex.
Okay.
And then, of course, the Weber storyline.
Did you think she was going to live? When she was living, did you think she was going to live? When they finished the surgery successfully?
I did.
Yeah.
But I didn't think that they were going to... But I thought it was going to be next episode. I thought she was going to die next episode.
Yeah.
Because she kind of... Like, guys, I want to recognize this is a fictional show. None of these people are real. But Adele dying kind of steals Bailey's wedding thunder a little bit. And I feel bad.
It didn't in that...
No, it's sad. I mean, look at Weber, dude.
Well, yeah, it's definitely sad, but I would say it didn't steal her thunder in that he was not, like, he didn't tell her. Like, the only other person that knows is Meredith at the wedding.
Yeah.
Will say on the Adele storyline, like, the ending of the episode is so beautifully done.
Yes.
And I did get goosebumps when it, like, cuts from him crying and then the camera turns and it's him and Adele dancing on their wedding day to their wedding song, which he had previously sang to her when she was having when she wasn't lucid and she was panicking because she didn't know where she was, and he sang her that song.
Yeah. It also it's interesting. So okay, hold on. Because that's kind of tied into the whole wedding storyline. But let's just talk. Okay, can we talk about Weber and Adele really quick here? Is that okay with you? Or do we want to talk within the storyline of the wedding?
We can talk the whole wedding and then intertwined.
Okay. Probably, I guess, is the wedding episode. Let's just talk about the wedding. This whole episode's
going to
be about the wedding.
The episode starts with everyone at the wedding being like, what's happening? Like, where is the bride? And including the groom. He is also saying that.
Yeah.
And you know, at the hospital, obviously, she's focused on they're doing a procedure in I don't know if it's the cath lab or endoscopic. It's not a full surgery. They're in one of the little lab areas doing something. And, whatever it is that they see, they're like, fuck, we have to do a full surgery. Like, we can't solve this in here. We have to fully open her up to operate to fix this issue. Which, again, typically I feel when anyone shows up vomiting blood, it's real, things have gone very far. No one is throwing up blood for a cold. Things are bad if you're vomiting blood.
Yeah.
So. She's like, we gotta go. Does she say call OR2 and tell them we're on our way? And that's when Leah's like, do you want me to call anyone else? She's like, why? Who the fuck else are you gonna call? Like, I'm right here. We don't need anyone else. And she's like, you're gonna be operating for a while. Is there anyone I should tell that you're operating? And then Miranda goes, I didn't forget. Which is code for I a little bit forgot. Which is fair, and that comes up later, but
Adele is dying.
Yeah. Leah calls Ben and is like, this is a situation. But she does tell Leah not to tell Ben that it's Adele, because if she does, then he'll fully abandon the wedding. And she's like, I will get married once I'm done with this. Like, I'm getting married today. Today is my wedding. And so she doesn't tell who it is. She's just like, oh, I got pulled into an immersion surgery or whatever.
Which, like, hold on. Let's think about the other side of that, though. If Adele dies, how the hell is she going to get married? Like, if she knew Adele died, right? Like, yeah, if Adele dies on her table, she's going to be like, got peace, got to go.
Lol, got to go find some joy.
A Rothelcopter, bitches. Oh, my God,
every time you say that.
I use it sparingly enough that it still has comedic effect.
Every time, it's just because I always forget that it exists until you are actively saying it. And then I'm like, I have such an aggressive, like, flashback to being in high school, which is just like, nobody needs that. Like, nobody needs a jump scare high school flashback.
Listen, I know that wasn't very skibbity of me, and I apologize. Ugh,
it was very toilet. It was so Ohio. Man. Okay.
You know what's not Ohio, though? Rothelcopter.
It's just, like, painful. I hate it so much.
Wait, speaking of high school... Wait, no, say what you're going to say, because I have another high school.
I was saying, I've never been much of, like, an LOL person anyways. I've always been a ha-ha person.
Mm.
I will type out LOL and do, like, with a lot of L's at the end, if it's something that's objectively not funny, but like is funny in an ironic, sarcastic way. Like, it's like texting Jessica earlier. I was like, oh, Bennett woke up at 5:30 today. Lol. Like, that's not funny, but like, it's like, and then like the melting smiley face.
Yeah. 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 I've always been an LOL guy. If it's really funny.
I'm a ha 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 ha.
But are you an ah ha 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 ha?
If I accidentally hit A first, I am.
Fuck, why are we on one today? Speaking of high school, the snack wraps are back at McDonald's.
Oh, it's so true.
Millennial forever has never been at its peak past this. Although we did bring back the 3D Doritos once, so we have power.
So good. No, the Dunkaroos came coming back. That's where it was at.
Mmm, and the Dunkaroos, yeah.
So fucking
man,
good.
That was wild. I remember we stocked up on those. That was like Florida time, though, yeah?
No, I think I lived here.
Were you back in Chattanooga already?
Who's to say? I don't recall. Yeah.
Time is a blur.
Time is meaningless.
Okay, all right. Back to the you were doing very good. I continue with your storyline.
Thank you so much. So they are in the surgery and Richard, oh wait, at some point Meredith is like, I'm going to go to the hospital because maybe I can tag her out because I'm also a general surgeon. So like maybe she'll leave and come back here and I can like take over for her because like her being there is more important than Meredith being there, arguably. So Meredith goes to the hospital. She gets there. They're like, oh, it's Adele. And it's like, shit. Also, she sees Richard and the nursing home man about to have a full-blown like murder fest because Richard is basically blaming this man for like not knowing that this was happening, which he says later, like in Alzheimer's patients, when they're sick, they don't remember if they told anyone or not. So that's like oftentimes why it gets bad very quickly or like why it gets worse than it technically could have gotten if they had had treatment. So he's like yelling at this man.
That guy kind of goes back and he's like, well, you shouldn't have stopped coming by.
Well, that's, yeah, bruh. That's, I mean, it's a sick burn because he says, when I said you should visit less, I didn't mean stop coming entirely, which is like a full roast on Richard.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so
I didn't mean go get your dick wet with Jackson's mom, Richard.
Like, yeah, there's some Discord discourse about this happening and like this man's call out because he's right. Like Richard, it took very little for Richard to A, completely stop visiting Adele and B, start fucking someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what I would do. Is one of the Discord questions, what would you do in this situation? Because I don't know what I would do.
I don't think so.
Okay. Good. No one asked that. It's a tough question.
Meredith goes in with Adele, gets the update. or goes in with Miranda on Adele's surgery and gets updated, and they're trying all this stuff and it's not working. She's like, got a lot of bleeding. They can't get her to stabilize. Richard's watching from the gallery and they send Leah up to sit with him because obviously he's distraught. And she goes up there, and it's nice because he's still like teaching her in this moment, because he's like, you should be down there learning. And she's like, I'm not going anywhere. Stop asking. And then he like is walking her through what they're doing and why they're doing it. And then he has an idea because they're struggling to get her to stabilize still, like nothing's working. So he gets on the speaker and he's like, hey, try this. And they're like, that's not going to work. And she's like, it's already nothing's working. So like what, like the worst case scenario doesn't change. So they do it and it works. They stabilize her.
I think what it was, I think I wrote this down somewhere.
The renal vein.
The renal vein. And he also, I actually wrote what the things were with the, oh, that's because I have it under a different storyline. I'm like, where are all my notes? Okay, so she had primary aortoduodenal fistulas. Mm-hmm. And then there was some kind of plaque that had broken off.
Yes. And that's, I have it right here because our good friend Alicia.
Ah, an angel saint.
My medical dictator. Said atherosclerotic plaque. A fatty plaque that builds up in the arteries over time, mostly by containing connecting tissue, lipids, and calcium. Curative measures include lifestyle changes, medication, or surgery if necessary. This is something that has to be watched for growth regularly. So that's the thing that it's like typically they would have seen, but that's what he was basically saying, like, with Alzheimer's, they don't know if they've told anyone, they don't know if anyone's aware, because they don't remember. So that's like how it kind of gets really bad. And then exsanguinating is the act of causing a patient to lose a lot of blood, potentially leading to death, can be serious complication, and can lead to hemorrhagic shock. Additionally, a surgeon may do this intentionally in a trauma case to help clear the field, like lifting a leg and using a tourniquet to stop blood flow. In Adele's case, it's unclear, but most likely a surgical complication not done purposefully. And the note she added was, I am not a doctor, but I do have a medical coding degree.
Nice.
So, thank you so much, Alicia, for doing my homework for me.
And on that note, we're going to go ahead and take a break from our sponsors. But all of the good ads that you hear right now, we're going to dedicate the good capitalism to Alicia. The bad capitalism, ignore it. But good capitalism, we love you, Alicia. Be right back. And we are back. Thank you. Hopefully it was all good.
So yeah, they do what Richard suggests, and obviously it works because he's a genius in this scenario. And so then she stabilizes. They're in the room. Like he's sitting with her in the room. They're checking on her. He's like, Bailey, for the love of God, go to your fucking wedding. So she does. And Meredith comes in to check on them, and Adele wakes up and she's like, Richard, please stay with me. And I'm going to lump this into this storyline because it doesn't really, there's not really a Meredith Derek storyline because they're in this minimally. Meredith goes to Derek's room at the hospital and is like, if I get Alzheimer's, promise me not to put me in a home. And I have strong feelings about this because that feels irresponsible.
Yeah.
Because you have a child and you're pregnant, so potentially two children. And Derek has a career. There's no, like, the frame of time in which a person can get Alzheimer's, like, they, like, Ellis got it young. So in theory, their kids are not even out of the house if she has Alzheimer's. Like, Derek's still working. The burden of care it's just an unfair assumption to assume that, like, it'll be fine for her to stay at the house or safe for her or anyone else.
Yeah.
And this is not just Alzheimer's specific. This is, like, any, like, illness that comes with aging that needs around-the-clock care. Like, with Adele, Richard had someone who came to the house, but because she, like, couldn't remember, it was not, like, it agitated the condition because she didn't know who this person was, and she would freak out, and she was, like, throwing things at this person. Like, I'm not saying if someone, like, starts to show signs of dementia, you immediately put them in a home, but just, like, to put it on your partner, because then if they're the lucid one and you're, like, really sick and they're like, well, I can't, I promised her and I don't want to break that promise. Like, I don't know. I just think that it's to just blatantly make that promise is, like, I don't love it. I don't feel like that's, because when you say love someone in sickness and in health, like, putting them in a home does not mean you don't love them. That means you're guaranteeing that they get the care. And right. It doesn't mean you're going to do what Richard did and just bail out for no reason.
Well, okay, hold on. There's a lot to unpack here. So number one, Meredith's demand for a promise to Derek puts Derek in between a rock and a hard place.
Right.
Because situation A, he holds the promise, like you said, he's the lucid one, he holds the promise and just puts everyone in danger, including himself, his children, potentially plural, and mm-hmm. Meredith. Option B, he breaks the promise, and then when she is lucid, she hates him and resents him, and it is never fun. And then the thing with Richard, when you say what he did for no reason, there was a reason.
Yeah, I say, like, I think he took it too far.
He took,
he went to the nth degree of
yeah.
what he should have done.
He let his selfish thoughts, his intrusive thoughts win. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But also, like, I gotta, like, back that up a little bit, because that's gotta be hard to watch your wife of however many years out there fucking another dude. Right? Remember, yeah. she was, like, in love with this other guy. She was she was longing for that dude.
Right.
And also, like, let us not forget that Weber has messed up before with the Alice thing.
This seems on brand.
So I also do want to talk about with the Adele and Weber kind of, like, resolution piece, like, with the him, she wakes up and she's like, Richard, don't ever leave me again. And he's like,
yeah,
I won't. I promise. Blah, blah, blah. Never again. I'll make it. Never will I make a mistake as long as you live. And then he snuffs her out. No, he doesn't. I'm kidding. So this is very, it reminds me of the time where Ellis dies and Ellis is lucid for just a little bit of time.
Yeah.
It's wild that he has been in the final moments of both the women in his life with Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
In their death hour, their hour of death.
That's interesting. I didn't actually never thought of that. Very interesting.
So, and they both, well, I can't remember. Does Ellis remember Richard in current time or previous time before she passes?
I don't know right before, but she has moments in the hospital where she's lucid.
Well, yeah, but I think the last...
I don't know. I don't remember 100% if it's, like, right before she dies. Because
Meredith gets a goodbye with her.
Well, in Meredith's afterlife, because she dies while Meredith is dead. Wait. Remember, Meredith, like, sees her in the afterlife hospital with Denny and Bonnie and Dylan.
Meredith doesn't get to say goodbye to Ellis.
She says goodbye to her in the afterlife.
Right. But not in the real life, the living
in the current
world.
Life, no. Because Meredith is dead when Ellis dies.
I don't remember that. I thought that she had... So all of, like, the reconciliation moment happened in the dead life.
Yeah.
The Meredith being dead. Okay. I actually don't remember that. I feel like I need to watch that episode again.
Yeah.
It was kind of stolen with the Denny and Izzy moment.
Ugh. Ugh. that moment.
That's like actually all I really vividly remember from that episode.
Yeah. Such a good moment.
Yeah. Should we just actually pause here and just go watch that episode?
The whole episode, not even just that moment, just the entire episode.
Yeah. And when I say pause this podcast, I mean like we should be done. Let's never go past this moment.
This is it. This is the last episode we do. Adele died and the series ended.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I knew she was going to die. I called it.
You did call it. And as I was watching it, I was thinking, I wonder if he is quivering at that prediction. If it is waning.
I just actually, I saw it as it was going to be next episode. Like once they saved her, I was like, okay, this can't be forever. She's gone through a lot of trauma, but to get her, you know, taken out by a heart attack, that's a bummer of a way to go.
It is.
Especially a heart attack in a hospital.
Yeah, I feel mean, like Denny had a, you know, blood clot in the hospital.
Yeah, but that was just so instant. It's like a nuclear warhead in his brain. Oh, I don't fully understand the medicine behind heart attacks. So,
yeah, because sometimes you live.
Yeah. And sometimes you have like a mild heart attack. You have them
for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, you've been having a heart attack for like several hours. What? How are you alive? I don't know. It's wild. I definitely don't get it. So but it's a bummer. So Richard shows up at the wedding and Bailey's like, oh, yay. Like, I'm so glad you're here. Like, you know, I like love you so much. Basically like a very mentor father type esque figure moment. And he's like, you look beautiful. And she starts to ask about Adele. And the DJ's like, oh, time for the first dance. So she leaves. And then Meredith sees Richard. And because she was there when Adele was like, don't leave me. And he's like, I'm never going to leave you again. I think she like puts together, like, if he's here, it's because Adele is dead.
Oh, see, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
Get
that. So that's why she's like, when did it happen? And, they both cry together.
Well, it's
lots of sad tears in this episode.
Yeah. Some happy though. Some happy tears. I had a happy crying moment with Bailey and Ben, but we'll get to that soon. When Bailey asked about Adele's like blood pressure and stats and stuff, and then Weber didn't answer and was like, just go fucking dance, dude. Yeah. That's when I was like, oh no, she's dead. She's dead. So
okay, in between all this, before Miranda goes back to the wedding, Ben comes to the hospital and she's like, no, I'm coming. I still want to get married. And he's like, it's fine. And she's like, I forgot. Just so you know, I did forget that we were getting married. And he's like, yeah, you should have forgotten. You were like actually saving someone's life. You should, in fact, forget. So it was very like nice and supportive. And he had this big speech about how like they're.
Do you have those receipts? Do you have the speech?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so over here. This is the scene where I cried.
Oh, so cute.
I had happy tears.
Where did it go? Okay. He's like, are you sure you still want to marry me? And she says, I'm just so scared. I'm scared that you get it now because it was Adele Weber. And see, this is not, it's not just going to be the last time that I forget, because I have so many things that I want to do, things I want to be. My ambition killed my last marriage and I don't want to do that to you. And he says, Miranda, you do know that I'm not at home waiting around with a roast in the oven. No, I'm in Los Angeles becoming a surgeon too. I have things I want to do and be, and we may only be together 5 minutes every 2 months, but hey, when we do, we will savor every second because we both know how valuable those 5 minutes are. Do you love me? And she says, more than I can hold in my heart. You're sure about that? I am completely sure of that. Do you want to spend the rest of your life with me, even if it's only in 5-minute increments every 2 months? I do.
What? What? How? When people say that love isn't real, watch this scene, assholes. When she says more than I can hold in my heart, that's when I started getting emotional.
Yeah, more than I can hold in my heart is like actually such a beautiful response. Like, I truly love it so much.
I also, speaking from the standpoint of a long distance relationship, mm-hmm. it is, while I never wanted to do long distance marriage, like that's why I moved to Florida. But when Jess and I were long distance, that's exactly how that was. Like every second of our time together was so valuable because we'd spend weeks, months mm-hmm. apart. And when we got together, it was like all we want to do is like, in, like just understand that this is what it's been for. Like this is mm-hmm. something as simple as going out and getting dinner together was not just going out and getting dinner together. It was just this magical time. So, I love that. It's super cute. Ben is so understanding, and I'm glad that Bailey's honest with him about yeah. the ambition and like, yeah, this killed my last marriage.
It's like, and it speaks to a relationship, the stability of a relationship when you can share your fears
yes,
about the relationship yes. and like know that it won't make the other person mad or like make the other person resentful or anything like that.
Yeah. And I like his initial response of like, yeah, you're supposed to forget. There's lives on the line. And Ben is also, here's the other big difference. Ben is going to school to mm-hmm. be a surgeon. What yeah. did Tuck do? Sit on his dick for 8 hours a day? What does he do? Who cares about him? Get out of here, Tuck. A banker. Yeah. Get out of here. Thanks for causing the housing crisis, dickhead. I blame Tuck.
Sorry. I just saw an ant on the thing. Tried to kill it, but I missed it. And I'm trying to find it.
Oh, boy.
It doesn't matter. But I am still looking for it.
I do need to. I need your help as someone who's the resident expert in the wedding industry.
I am.
What the fuck is the broom for? What is the broom?
Have you never seen that?
No.
Okay. So I did actually look it up because I wasn't 100% positive. There are a couple different, like, I guess, like, estimations of where it comes from, I guess is the word. Like, but it's most highly regarded to be a tradition with African American and Black Canadians, is what the internet has told me. And it stemmed from something to do with like the early, mid, late 1800s, like with slavery. And like, so when it's something about I looked it up and I've already forgotten. It came from, that's a time frame in which it started. And I will say, as your resident wedding expert, the only time I've ever seen it done are when one or both partners in the marriage have been African American. So that does track in my experience, which is limited. But
so I did a very quick Google search to get us across the home finish line here. Jumping the broom
is a tradition
with roots in West African and African American culture, and it symbolizes sweeping away the past.
Yes, and also I actually saw that it kind of like dwindled for a while in the early to mid 1900s, and then it made a comeback with, it all ties together, the Roots TV series that you had previously mentioned on this podcast that I did not know existed.
And this is called full circle, and this it right
is
here
a full circle moment
is why we started the Grey's Anatomy podcast, is to tie in the Roots TV show.
Yep.
It's the real
that
reason.
I did not know about.
No, it's
I'm wildly
unaware. That's wild. I did not realize that. I don't think that was in the OJ Simpson episode, though.
Probably not.
I don't know. Anyways, okay, so that's cool. This is a teaching hospital, damn it.
Yeah, so that is where that stems from. That, and then there was also something that said it. They also, sometimes Irish weddings do it. So that's it. That's what it is.
What are some other traditions? I know is it Jewish culture? They stomp on the glass.
Step on the glass. Yeah.
You know, my favorite tradition that I wish we did at my wedding is where they pay you to dance with you.
Oh my God, we had that at the one that I did this weekend.
I like that. I would love to get paid for someone to dance with me.
They explained it to me. They're like, it's called the money dance, and it's where they pay $1 to dance with the bride or groom. And the mom was like, we have to do it at this time so that then, like, it, cause before we want to do it before people start to leave. And she's like, just, it's a song. The mom kept being like, it's a song. And I was like, okay. So I like tell the DJ, I'm like, okay, they want to do the money song like now. And he's like, okay, cool. And I tell the photographer, I'm like, they're doing this, and then we're going to go outside for the rest of the pictures, blah, blah, whatever. And then it's like six songs later and it's still happening. And I'm like, I did not realize this was like an event. And one of the photographers was like, yeah, the money dance can like typically go for like 30 minutes.
What?
Because so many, like everyone at the wedding lines up to dance with them.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
And so I fully just like turned around and I was like, that is on me for being too white and like not having any idea about this tradition.
That's wild.
This wedding that I was at was so fun. It was huge. It was 260 guests, which is huge.
Mine was bride, 261 guests.
No, it wasn't. The bride was Filipino on her mother's side and Mexican on her father's side. And the groom was Mexican on his mother's side and Middle Eastern, I think, Indian on his father's side. So like the food.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, at like everything.
Did you save
me
a plate?
Dude, okay. First of all, full roasted pigs. Two, head on, fully roasted pigs. Just on a table. I'll send you a picture.
I need to see this.
It was so good. And then, so they had outside like a taco vendor. It was like on a flat top grill, like cooking fresh tacos, like your dream, like not white people taco night, like actual tacos,
real tacos. Yes.
And then inside were two buffets set up from a Filipino food that the family had made. It was all like could not be more authentic. They had made it themselves. So I did not even look at what anything was. If it was on the buffet table, I got, because I love to try new food.
Yes, yes.
I ate everything on the table. It was so fucking good. When I got up to the where they were carving the pig, and they had like three different sauces, and I asked the woman like serving it, because it was an aunt, I think. I was like, which one would you put on it? And she was like, this is the best one. I was like, fucking done. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So fucking good. And then it was the bride's great aunt, but she was like an auntie, like everyone. She was like low key running the show. She was probably like 89 years old. She had flown in from San Diego and she was like, I only come out here for weddings. They call me when people die. And I'm like, I'm not coming to a funeral. They're not fun. Call me when something fun is happening. And I was like, I'm obsessed with you.
Yes.
So when she left, she found me and she was like, I made you this plate to go. And I was like, I have never felt more accepted by a stranger's family than I do right now.
This is incredible.
And so I have still leftovers in the fridge. So fucking good. So good.
So I feel like this is where we talk a lot about why Kelsey and Carmen could not be together, right? Like when we talk about the relationship joke that Kit and Peanut Jones said, like, could they be blah, blah, blah. Kelsey and I could not be together. For a billion reasons.
So many.
The one reason we could be together is there is very few people that I have met in my life that will go toe-to-toe with their food openness and Kelsey's one of them. And like, even when we were in Europe, we're like, oh yeah, like fucking let's, what do you eat? Like, what does the culture eat? That's what we want.
Street vendor, whatever. Yeah.
Cause even Jess sometimes, like, I'll sit there and I'll be like, oh, all I want right now in the entire world is I want some fucking Thai food, or I want some Ethiopian food, or I want some XYZ food. And Jess is like, but like, what about noodles and company? And I'm like, okay, whatever. Fine.
I do hate a chain.
Yeah. It's fine. Like, whatever. Marlo eats great there. It's, whatever.
It's easy.
But, and also their kids' meal is mac and cheese, broccoli, and then milk. So like, you get 90% of your food groups there. But Kelsey, one of my favorite things about our friendship is we appreciate authentic cuisine of the culture that we are immersed in.
I have yet to meet a food that I won't even try.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like, I'm down to try anything once.
I'll even, you know, when they got those roasted tarantulas just cooking over the fire, fine.
I've not come across that yet.
I haven't. I've seen it on, you know,
on
the internet somewhere. I will try anything once.
It does drive Michael insane because we'll like be somewhere at a restaurant or an event or something, and on a plate or on the table or whatever, there'll be some kind of food and he'll ask me, what is that? And my response will be, I don't know. And then I will take it and eat it. And that drives him insane. And I said, what's the worst that could happen? And he goes, you could actually die doing that. And I was like, I mean, the chances are so slim.
Yeah.
Like, if I have an allergic reaction to a food so strongly that it's going to kill me, like, I just would figure it out by now.
Yeah.
Now, if it's not food and it's poison, well, then it's my time to go.
Right. Well, that's different. Even when you go to these, who is the one, Bourdain? He would be the one who'd go out to these villages, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if it's a delicacy to these villagers,
there's a reason. There's got to be a reason.
Eat it.
Because I bet it's great.
There are two disgusting foods that I can think of, one of which I've already eaten and one of which I would be open to eating. When you start eating the organs of animals, like, I've had tripe. Right? Like, that's disgusting. That's intestines of pig, I think. And I'm not going to sit there and yearn for tripe soup, but I've tried it. The other thing is that the little chicken egg where it's like half cooked, not half cooked, it's like half grown and there's like actual chicken bones in there and it's like fermented.
I am not familiar with this delicacy. It sounds like, I don't know about that one.
I'll send it to you. I'll try. But it's like a chicken baby that's like started to actually grow. Mm-hmm, in the egg, and then that's when they eat it.
Interesting and terrible.
Yeah.
Like, for why? Well, I guess you'd have to try
delicacy.
It to find out.
Delicacy. Okay, let's keep talking. We might have to go into the next episode on this one though.
Okay, so they have that moment. It's really, really delightful. They get married. It's beautiful. They have their dance, their reception. Everyone's happy and celebrating them, and I love it. Oh, I also wanted to say, this wedding specifically was a huge inspiration for the decor at my wedding.
Oh,
so mainly like when they just have like, because I had my wedding was on December 1st. I always said I wanted a winter wedding, not a Christmas wedding. And so we had like kind of bare trees that were like just wrapped with lights and like twinkly and white, but not, and silvers, but not like anything red and green and all that stuff. Like, they weren't pine trees. They were kind of just like bare trees. But yeah, this was like the inspiration that I like sent out when I was talking to people about like how I wanted to do the decor. So I'll post some pictures that I felt like kind of where I drew that parallel to in my wedding. I'll post some pictures on the Instagram.
You should also post
the picture of
us. Well, no, I saw the picture of the pig. That's fucking awesome. No, the picture of you and me, where I played guitar at your wedding.
You did play guitar.
Also, shout out today, Real Lifetime is Leah for your anniversary to our
happy
friend Leah.
Happy anniversary, Leah and Mark.
Man, I think to this day, Leah's wedding and your wedding are two of my like top three or four favorite shows of all time that I've ever played.
Thanks. Yeah. Those are both my favorite performances that I've ever seen you do.
Yeah, you need to see more performances. I need to perform.
They're the
more.
Only performances I've ever seen you
yeah.
do.
Yeah. Okay. Let's. There's. I think a couple more things. Do you want to?
On the wedding?
Well, I mean, there's things that happen that are wedding adjacent that we probably like should talk through. Like the Stephen Jackson storyline.
Oh, that's a whole other
the
thing.
The Shane storyline, the Joe and Alex storyline.
As far as Miranda Ben Bailey. And Richard and Adele, we've covered that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I think, yeah, we'll wrap it here. And then we'll do everything else in the next episode after we start with everyone's favorite segment.